Hey everyone, Dr. Miles here, and this is Module 4, Video 5, Small Intestinal Fungal Overgrowth Treatment Using Pharmaceuticals. Here we see that fluconazole versus nystatin in the treatment of oral candidosis. Now this is oral, so it's a little different than fungal overgrowth in the small intestine, but at least as for oral, when we're looking at fluconazole versus nystatin, we see that the eradication rate following treatment with fluconazole, which was 50 milligrams per day, was a 91% eradication rate, or at least shown symptom improvement. And comparable figures with nystatin group were basically that 10 of 12 patients, so small sample size, the fluconazole was 20 of 22 patients, and then the nystatin group was 10 of 12, but had a similar percentage of effectiveness. 83% showed symptom improvement on the nystatin group. So both groups showed significant levels of improvement for oral candidosis, and so there was not a huge difference between the efficacy of fluconazole versus the efficacy of nystatin. So that's something that orally shows similar results between the two. So because they performed similarly, we do feel like use of either nystatin or fluconazole may be effective in small intestinal fungal overgrowth. There's some talk amongst some practitioners with some concerns around nystatin's ability to make it into the small intestine and get all the way through the small intestine. A lot of the studies are on oral or esophageal yeast or candidosis, but it does seem like there is some other research saying that nystatin may be absorbed. So there's just conflicting information about that. So nystatin has a little bit of conflicting information and differing clinical opinions in terms of its utility with small intestinal fungal overgrowth. So the more common choice typically is fluconazole, 50 milligrams per day for 2 weeks or 14 days. Nystatin can be used, though, also, and may perform just as well. We just don't have direct research on it. Biofilm disruption is really important for candida and yeast. Now, not all yeast overgrowths or fungal overgrowths in the small intestine are going to be candida. Of course, candida is well known, but candida albicans is not the only yeast that overgrows. So it could be a variety of different possible yeasts. But there are some research studies looking at biofilm and seeing that biofilm with candida and or other yeast is significant. And because the antifungal drugs don't address biofilm directly, and we do see research suggesting that if there is biofilm, the resistance to antibiotics or antifungals is so much more significant that it probably is helpful to add biofilm disruption into pharmaceutical treatment for SIFO. So here in this study, we see the formation of candida biofilms are very important because it creates very significant increases in resistance to antifungal therapy. So those cells that are within biofilms withstand the immune system and antifungal medication pretty well. So that's some of the evidence that shows the potential efficacy for adding biofilm disruption. Here's one study showing angelenic acid was inhibiting biofilm formation of candida albicans effectively, and that in the presence of that compound, the yeast was unable to, was really inhibited in its formation of biofilm. So by decreasing its ability to form biofilm, it's going to decrease the defense mechanism against the immune system and the antifungal medications. Here's a study showing a combination of nitroglycerin and caprylic acid was very successful in rapid and complete biofilm eradication in an in vitro model with basically the synergistic combination of nitroglycerin together with caprylic acid. And that was found effective against gram-positive, gram-negative, and fungal biofilms. Here's a study with quite a long title, Caprylic Acid and the Effective Treatment of Intractable Medical Problems of Frequent Urination, Incontinence, Upper Respiratory Infection, Root Canal Tooth Infection, ALS, etc., caused by asbestos and mixed infection of Candida albicans, Helicobacter pylori, and cytomegalovirus, with or without other microorganisms and mercury. Basically, what this study was doing is it was looking at utilizing caprylic acid as part of a treatment for people who had very, very difficult things to treat that involved multiple infections, Candida being one of those infections. Also, potentially bacterial infections like H. pylori, and potentially a viral infections like cytomegalovirus. And this study found enormous effectiveness from caprylic acid, and the authors concluded, thus, caprylic acid is superior to and less expensive than Diflucan and has potential application for anti-cancer, anti-aging, anti-Alzheimer's disease, anti-autism, anti-infection, and general circulatory improvement. So here is a study showing that caprylic acid may be very effective. The last study was showing it as a synergistic agent together with nitroglycerin. This one is using it alone. So hard to say if it's effective alone or just in combination with other things. I prefer to combine maybe two or three biofilm disruptors together if we're going that route. So caprylic acid could be one, and maybe we want angelinic acid or another biofilm disruptor like N-acetylcysteine could be an option as well. So having a biofilm component together with an antifungal like fluconazole or nystatin may increase the effectiveness. And so using caprylic acid, which could be obtained through MCT oil, it's naturally found in coconut oil, but it's only about 10%. So you'd have to eat a lot of coconut oil to get a significant amount of caprylic acid. So you could instruct eating coconut oil, and that could be helpful, and or taking MCT oil. Some MCT oil is a combination of caprylic and capric acids. Some is 100% caprylic acid, so getting 100% caprylic acid MCT oil is another great way to get some caprylic acid. And then, of course, some of the Candida products out there will have caprylic and or angelinic acid in them. And then NAC can be applied, proteolytic enzymes can be applied, bismuth subnitrate is another highly anti-biofilm agent that could be applied. So a combination of biofilm disruptors can be really helpful in cases of if we're going to be using an antifungal for treatment. So consider that conjunction of those things together. A few other things that maybe are very clear in research to be biofilm disruptors, but maybe there isn't the direct research on fungal or candida biofilm, but there very well may be some efficacy. Some of the other products are things like N-acetylcysteine can do some anti-biofilm, and some of the bismuth subnitrate, so bismuth combos with NAC, can also have some significant biofilm disruption. There are plenty of other biofilm disruptors, some of the proteolytic enzymes as well. So doing a trial with some biofilm disruption, maybe a couple of products to see if they can work in synergy with each other in tandem with SIFO treatment when you're using an antifungal can aid in increasing the chances of successful eradication. To prevent recurrence, it's really important to treat the underlying cause. Now, you may be asking, well, what is the underlying cause of a small intestinal fungal overgrowth? And it's difficult to know exactly, except that we see a lot of research showing that Candida and other fungi are typically opportunistic organisms, meaning that, of course, the standard conventional ideas are that immunocompromise is the number one reason why someone might have a fungal overgrowth that's significant. And that is true that in immunocompromised situations, that is for sure a root cause for why a fungal overgrowth may occur. Now, in a healthful immune system, or at least not an immune-compromised immune system, we see other stealth pathogens being a strong co-occurrence together with a yeast overgrowth or a fungal issue. So In our clinical experience, we often will see some other gut infection. Could be SIBO, could be a parasite, could be a stealth infection that's more systemic, like Lyme, Borrelia, or one of the co-infections for Lyme. Could be something along the lines of mycoplasma. So taking a look at some of the other underlying infection possibilities might be in order with someone who's not severely immunocompromised, who is having a fungal overgrowth situation. Treat that underlying cause. Make sure you're doing that. So that is most of what you need to know to add farm treatment for small intestinal fungal overgrowth. So as a standard, again, it's 2 weeks, and 50 milligrams of fluconazole is fairly typical. You could also use, or instead of fluconazole, you could try nystatin as well. So adding a biofilm disruptor will be likely increasing the efficacy, and then treating the underlying root cause is important to do as well. In the next video, we will be talking about intestinal permeability. So looking forward to sharing that info. Have a great day.